Now we're going to be joined in a couple of seconds by Fiona O'Malley, Communications and Fundraising Director of World Vision. Before we talk to Fiona, I just want to read you a little piece that came in on the press release that we got from Fiona and World Vision. Medina is a 12-year-old girl in Afghanistan and is fearful of the impact child marriage could have on her future. With the help of World Vision, her father has agreed not to sell her off, but Medina is still anxious that if the economy worsens, he might change his mind. So there. Fiona O'Malley, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Yes, so the statistic and I guess a quote in relation to one of our case studies.
It is indeed.
Who was at risk of being a child bride. So it's quite harrowing when you think of it. I always think statistics can be difficult to absorb because they don't. It's difficult to contemplate the full amount of people, but sometimes when you look at one individual case study or one individual child, it really brings the problem home. And in Afghanistan, well, prior to the spread of COVID-19, 57% of girls were married before the age of 18, but this figure is expected to increase as families are forced to adopt negative coping mechanisms to deal with ongoing economic hardships. So World Vision is working around the clock to reduce the incidence of child marriage in different provinces. Mm. And we're also working to alleviate the negative impact of child marriage on the survival and the development of girls who are impacted by it. But it's a horrific problem, particularly, you know, it's very harrowing problem that's worsening during COVID-19. One of the many things that the global pandemic has impacted. Mm-hmm. One in three girls in the developing world are married before the age of 18, and one in nine are married before the age of 15. So it's quite shocking.
Indeed.
It's also quite shocking to consider that globally almost 400 million women who are now aged between 20 and 49 were actually married before the age of 18. So it's a huge issue, and it's certainly very very strong issue on an international scale.
Right. What exactly, so you're a communications and fundraising director for World Vision Ireland. So what is your role, or what is World Vision Ireland's role in all this? What do they do?
So World Vision works primarily in the developing world. So World Vision works to promote the rights of children and the importance of education, and it also works with children's families, communities and governments to strengthen the systems that protect children. And I suppose it's important as well to consider that the child protection system is the full protective environment around the child. So that consists of laws, services, attitudes and behaviours that combined will prevent and respond to things like abuse, neglect, exploitation and other forms of violence against children.
Mm-hmm.
But World Vision is an international NGO that has an international reach. But I guess one of the things that we're emphasising is that, like any intergenerational cultural practice, child marriage can be a very difficult practice to break because of its complexities, which is why community involvement and engagement is a vital step to ending this horrific practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we're seeing in our case studies and our work on the ground and in the field. It's absolutely vital to have community engagement to succeed in breaking a cultural practice that is harmful to children.
Yeah. So your organisation has gone into areas in Afghanistan, and you are, would it be right to say that it's mainly the women that you're talking to there, and I don't know whether the right word be to say that you're re-educating them, but that you're kind of saying to them, look, there has to be another way of other than having your daughter who is 14 years of age being all of a sudden has to get married, and it's a financial thing that the reason why they're getting married. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So it affects, it negatively impacts, well, obviously the child and the next generation, because women who are deprived of education, that obviously has an impact on the next generation and their children as well. But it also, well, it impacts their education, and according to World Vision Ireland, 250 million children, most of them are from disadvantaged backgrounds. They're not even learning very basic literacy and numeracy skills. So it's about persuading families, communities, faith leaders, local activists, that even if they are in an impoverished situation, and perhaps something like a price of a child bride might be something that might alleviate their economic hardship temporarily, it's obviously a better investment to send a child to school and invest in their education, because it obviously opens things like career opportunities for them. It'll increase the overall income capacity of that household, so it'll impact on their ability to generate intergenerational wealth as well, if they prioritise education and if they prioritise empowering women, because we always say in World Vision, when women rise, we all rise. So it's important, obviously, to empower women and to empower them from a very young age.
Yeah. Just give us that quote again. When women rise...
When women rise, we all rise.
That's very good, very good. Just as a matter of insight, when I was reading through the press release we got during the week, that young lady that I young girl that I spoke about there, I hope I got her name right, Medina. She's 12 years of age, and her mother was 14 when she was married. Mm-hmm. So, God, she was very young when she had her baby daughter herself.
Yeah, it's not an unusual age for someone who is a child bride. And I suppose when someone is that young, they're impressionable and they mightn't even have the confidence to voice their own opinions, and they mightn't even have huge persuasion.
Yeah.
Even in Medina's own story, when she was talking about, you know, she found out she was going to be sold as a child bride and she was quite devastated, and it impacted on things obviously like her education and her future dreams of becoming a doctor, but it also really negatively impacted on her mental health. And she spoke in her statement about how she was having suicidal thoughts and everything at the concept or the idea of being sold to someone she'd never met. But when it came down to it, Medina's mother was quite stressed, because even though she herself had experienced being a child bride and child marriage, and she understood from a personal experience the negative impact that had in her life, she ultimately wasn't the decision maker in that scenario. So she felt quite conflicted, and she just was, you know, saying to Medina, I don't have the power to change this. It isn't in my hands. So the way to break any type of traditional practice like that is to have buy-in from both parents. So to explain, in this scenario, there were World Vision facilitators and community leaders who went to Medina's house, spoke to her father. They discussed the negative consequence of child marriage. They pointed out that Islam and the law prohibits these kind of practices, and they told Medina's family, including both parents, that child marriage would not only be a terrible thing for Medina and her future, but it would also push the family, the wider family unit, further into poverty. So they told Medina's father that if she stayed in school, got a good education, things would be much better for Medina and for her family in the long term. She could get a good job, be a better support to her community and her family, so she could study, learn skills, and be a positive influence on her community, on her social network. So Medina's father kind of expressed that he had struggled with his business, and there was certainly a shortage of money, and this had been exacerbated since COVID-19. But he was persuaded that the negative consequences outweighs the potential, immediate positive consequence of getting some type of financial lump sum. So it's about, I guess, persuading both parents, and I suppose like any type of movement, particularly any movement that empowers women, we need to have the buy-in of both women and men, for it to be truly successful and for it to be truly long-lasting, which is why it's important to persuade the fathers as well as the mothers of the negative consequences, because oftentimes the fathers are the ones, as Medina's mother said, who have the final say in something
indeed,
like that.
Indeed, yeah. It actually kind of, I don't know whether it surprised me or shocked me, that as you say there, it's actually against Islam and the law prohibits it. But, you know, in Afghanistan, I would have imagined that were it, like, you don't go against your religion, but yet because of their financial situation, kind of religion kind of went out the door. Am I putting it cruelly there or...
Well, in some scenarios, yes, but also there might be a misunderstanding of what is in the Quran, or there might be different teachings. And then obviously because Medina's parents are both were both illiterate, I suppose they would have followed more cultural phenomena and cultural practices. And there is obviously some interweaving or some crossover between religious practices and cultural practices, and sometimes the line can be blurred on that, and people might think that it is a religious practice, but actually it's prohibited by Islam. And we would have been familiar with similar misunderstandings on issues like FGM. Oftentimes people think it's a principle of the Muslim faith, or it's a practice of the Muslim faith, but actually it's more of a cultural practice than a religious practice, and it's not something that's promoted or supported by the Islam faith. Mm-hmm. So there are misconceptions, and I suppose the cultural practices can be very, very damaging and very dangerous, but it's important to distinguish the two between, you know.
Yeah, I'll just read another piece here, if you don't mind, just to where people are listening. And again, I hope I get these names right. And this is it's a different family. My son is 14 years old. We engaged him to a girl from the village, says Nazago. I hope I got that right. Mm-hmm. The family asks for 500,000 Afghan. That's about $6,500 as a bride price. We did not have that amount. Therefore, we plan to marry off our younger daughter to get some money to secure my son's engagement. That's really, when you read that, my God, that's another world to us, isn't it, really?
Yeah, well, I suppose in that case, obviously we're seeing it from the male perspective as well, when men and young boys are engaged in some type of child marriage, but it's probably something that is so intergenerational, and the norm, they don't consider that by sending their son into a child marriage and trying to secure some type of I guess price for that, mm-hmm. for a bride price, it obviously has a negative consequence on their daughter, because they're trying to sell their daughter off and get a good bride price for her, so that their son can be successfully brought into an arranged child marriage there. So it's damaging for both sexes, but also the concept of not only putting one child but two children into a child marriage is just horrific.
Yeah.
But it's also you know, if you were to take a step back, and maybe if you were to explain to that family that if you had neither of those child marriages, there wouldn't be a stress or pressure for one child to be married, let alone for the other one to be sold off to pay for the first child marriage. So it obviously has a domino effect on not only the child but other potential siblings. And as I said, it usually pushes the family deeper into poverty.
Yeah. What would have happened to that young girl, Medina? Now, had that marriage gone ahead, where would she have lived?
Well, she would have lived with her husband,
in his family circle. So,
yeah.
would she be just responsible for him, or is she kind of brought into the family to help the whole family then?
Well, both. She'd be kind of expected to obviously be his be his bride, and oftentimes there are very traditional expectations and conservative expectations on what that would mean, but also maybe to help his siblings or his parents if required.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously if and when she bears children, that would take up an awful lot of her time as well.
Yeah.
And oftentimes these women, once they are sold off as child brides, their education stops, and that obviously would limit any career potential.
And that's why yourselves and World Vision are trying to give to show them another way. If people want to know more about World Vision Ireland, Fiona, how do they go about that?
If people want to donate to World Vision Ireland, or if they want to find out more about the work that we do, they can go to our website, worldvision.ie.
worldvision.ie, and they can get all the information they require there. I was going to say to you, I think you've probably already mentioned to me how long the project it has been going on in Afghanistan, but it's obviously been going on before COVID arrived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has. So there's a couple of different projects that we are working on. One of the projects that we're working on in Afghanistan is in its second phase. It started 18 months ago. This is the one where one of the community workers who works for World Vision, she is working on challenging these social concepts and leading on the community-based social change sessions, and she's been, you know, leading on that project for 18 months now, and it's now in its second phase. So it's seeing the successful rates of engaging with the community and engaging with different families to challenge these concepts and these traditions that can have really negative consequences to not only children, but to their siblings and indeed to the wider community. So, community engagement is really the key for changing any of these very damaging concepts, because oftentimes these practices are, as I said, intergenerational, but oftentimes they're also kind of shrouded in shame and a bit of secrecy and stigma and even fear. So that makes it quite a difficult practice to dismantle or to challenge, which is why it's so important to have community awareness sessions and community engagement to bring this horrific practice to an end.
Okay, Fiona, we're going to leave it there if that's okay with you. Delighted to have spoken to you, and thanks for joining us here on Northside Today on Near FM.